First Covenant this morning. We're certainly happy to see all of you today. Our announcements are kind of few. If you're able, please stay this morning for fellowship time, followed by our annual church business meeting. And then next week, we're looking on Saturday, we're looking at the annual meeting for Covenant Park. So all of our churches and organizations are planning for the coming year. And further into the future, February 6th, the women will meet for lunch at Little Gourmet Deli. So those are our announcements at this point. If you would please stand and join me in the call to worship. And we'll read responsively. Come, my brothers and sisters, let us pray together.
For our God is a listening God.
Let us sing together.
For our God is a joyful God.
Let us praise together.
For our God is a majestic God.
Let us give thanks together.
For our God is a generous God.
And let us rejoice together. Remain standing and find hymn number 21 in your hymnals, and we will sing together, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in humility and faith. We thank you for all you have given us and the many blessings in our lives. We ask for your guidance and strength. Show us the way and fill us with courage and wisdom. Help us to remember your love and grace and to be faithful in our service to you. Give us the patience and understanding to face life's challenges with grace. We ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture today, our first reading is from Psalms, and it's Psalms 111, and it's the whole chapter. And it's on page 464 of the Pew Bibles. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides foods for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of the other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And our next reading is Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. And that's on page 764 of the Bible, Pew Bible. And it talks about Jesus when he drove out an evil spirit. Starting at verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach the people. And the people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee.
I'll ask our ushers to come forward, please. Hear these words as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings. Father God, you are the giver of all good things, and your word makes clear that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We ask that you accept these gifts and use them to your glory. May these gifts bring shelter to the homeless, comfort to the sick, rest to the weary, and hope to the hopeless. Just as you multiplied the offering of fish and loaves that were freely given for others, we pray that you would multiply these offerings, these our offerings to you, and accomplish with them more than we could ask or imagine. We give freely and not from compulsion, for there is nothing that we could give that matches your glory and majesty and the great gift of your Son, Jesus, and of the Holy Spirit, which guides us daily. All we have is yours, Father, and we ask that you would use us and all that we have as you will. Amen. Seated. As we join together in prayer this morning, please pray for whatever is on your heart as well. And the Lord will hear those prayers, and when you feel like sharing them, you are able to share them with each of us, and we would happily pray for you also. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, there are so many needs, some known, some unknown. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would be with those people that are experiencing illness, Lord, whether it is physical, mental, or spiritual. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to be with those individuals and help them deal with their illness and help heal them, Lord, as you would. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all of the blessings and freedoms that we have here in our area. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those people who cannot worship quite so freely or are experiencing things in their lives that prevent it. So much, Lord, that we're made aware of every day on the news, whether it's political unrest, whether it's war, famine, weather issues. People are experiencing so much tragedy, Lord, and we pray for them and lift them up and hope that you are able to put someone in their paths to help them deal with those things. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we have people serving in the military and people in our area that are so willing to serve for public safety, that we have police officers and sheriffs and healthcare personnel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We thank you, Lord, that we are well taken care of and that you have your hand in that. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for people who are traveling. We pray for their safety, for people who choose to have a winter break elsewhere. Lord, we're grateful for them. We miss them, and we pray that you'll bring them back safely to us. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word that Shirley shared this morning. We are so very grateful that we have a way to discern, to help discern what you would have us do and what you would want for our lives. We pray particularly today, Lord, for our annual meeting, that we would make decisions that honor you, that we would share information, and that people would feel involved in the process, Lord. That this is not an individual's church, but a church of believers, and all are invited to participate. And we thank you for that, Lord. And in closing, Lord, I want to share these words. O God, how great you are. On the first day of the week, we commemorate your creation of the world and all that is in it. Thank you for the light which wakes us morning by morning and for that greater light which shines in Jesus Christ. O God, how great you are. On the first day of the week, you raised Jesus from the dead. Rise us with him to new faith and life. O God, how great you are. Again, on the first day of the week, you sent your Spirit on your disciples. Do not deprive us of your Spirit, but renew us through him day by day. Amen. Now, if you would find your silver hymnals and turn to hymn number 71. Bless his holy name. And now this morning, we're privileged to have Brad Monson share with us what the Lord has laid on his heart. Thank you, Brad.
Foggy spring day this morning. Today, it'll be a message coupled with a little bit of a Youth for Christ update as well. So that'll be great. So, as she mentioned, my name is Brad Monson. I am the, what's my title now? I just been saying I'm the East Range Campus Life Director. We do have a little over a year now, we hired Jake Grass as our executive director, and he's doing stuff kind of all over, but also doing some Hibbing things. So I've just kind of been just retitling myself in a way as the East Range focus. So let's see, is this on? There we go. All right, so first off, I always forget, this is my family. We have my wife, Bethany. We've been married now for 5 years. So I've got it all figured out now. If you need any advice, you know. We've got our dog, Dallas, in the middle. He is 8, and then our daughter, Adeline, 2.5 years old. Bethany and Adeline are at our church in Chisholm Assembly, I'm sure doing many things, including all the worship and all that. So they both send their love to you this morning. This is just kind of a snapshot. We are getting more of these actual business cards, but this gives you just a snapshot of just what's going on at Youth for Christ across the Iron Range. So on the left side, we've got my campus life stuff in Virginia, which is just, it's Tuesdays. You can just know it's Tuesdays, grade 6 through 12, from, well, even really 3 to 7:30. But start off with a student center, just open hours from 3 to 5. Kids can come, do homework, play games, you know, probably play games, not do homework, but, you know, it happens. So homework does happen once in a while, I promise. And just kind of hang out with the kids, give them a safe place to be. And then new this year, free meal at 5 p.m. every single week. And actually, this church is a part of it. The fifth Tuesday of every month, including this Tuesday. I got to miss out on the tacos, unfortunately. I'm out of town. But bring in some tacos. And I realize it's on a Tuesday. It's just extra perfect for that. So every week, just get to have kind of a no-phone zone, I call it, for at least 30 minutes or so, where we all gather together, the students and the leaders, and just have a meal together. I even force them to say, hey, got to sit on these couple of tables, and force them to sit next to somebody where they might accidentally have a conversation. So that goes, and then at 6 o'clock we have our club time, which is a mixture of a couple of games here and there mixed about, but primarily focused on our discussions that can range from, you know, a lot of life things, but recently we're doing a series called Alpha, which is our three or four weeks in. It's this national video series that I've started up again. I did it a couple years ago. But really the focus is, it's Christ-centered, and it really just walks through the core concept of the Bible, but it's in a mode where it's more of an open discussion to say, hey, if you've got some non-believers there, and they spend, you know, how many years of their life in front of a screen or whatever, could we just spend, you know, an hour for 12 weeks in a row just talking about these big questions of life? You know, like, is there a God? What's my purpose? All these things. And even just last week, it's also sparked into a conversation about some unforgiveness. Had a student that I was just talking about some of, you know, what does forgiveness mean to you, and this and that. And then the student just said, well, I don't really know how to forgive people. There's maybe like two people in the world I'm like not upset with or something, you know. So just as these kids get talking, you get to hear more of their stories and all that. So, and then we do have, I should mention this, especially if you guys, if you're available. This is at True Hope Fellowship, by the way, which is the kind of the top of Midway, what I call it. Tuesdays from 8:30 to 9:30, we have prayer. I'll be gone this coming week, but we've got a crew there at True Hope that kind of runs it, and it's a powerful time of prayer. If it's in your schedule to go, please just join us in prayer. We pray pretty typically top-down, you know, global all the way down to local. Pray for leaders, we pray for students, we pray for whatever the Spirit lays on our heart. Just encourage you for sure, if you can, just let's just pack the place full of people just interceding on behalf of our leaders and the students and all that. So, and then very similar thing on Hibbing side, if you've got any students interested there. Starts a little earlier because Hibbing starts earlier, but it's still at kind of a center time. Their meal's at 5, and then the only difference is they have more of a worship and a message flow to theirs. And then their prayer time is, if it's somehow better for you, Fridays from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Haven, which was the Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, I believe, just kitty corner from the high school in Hibbing there. So, like I said, that is a nice little snapshot of what's all going on for us across the Iron Range, and Jake's got a heart to really see things expand and grow to more communities. But today, I get to deliver my message titled Living a Three-Story Life. So you'll see this, if you've seen Youth for Christ or you've seen any material or whatever, you will always see these three circles. That is like the core of who we are, and that represents the circles of my story, God's story, and their story, and where that intersects. So that is just a really quick snapshot of what our ministry is like, where we honestly are just building relationship with these kids, trying to show them how God's working through our story, share them about God's story, and just reveal to them that God is already a part of their story, and what it means like to just even grow closer and closer to God in that story. So we're just going to go through an overview today of what it looks like to live. What does this mean to live a three-story life? And it's simply a model of how we can live our lives, our spiritual life with God, and translate that into how we operate into our physical everyday life. And there's even parts of this I even took from my actual trainings. I'm just going to give you even some excerpts from those trainings that I've been going through occasionally. So one big core passage today, in abiding in real time, is John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. It says this, I'll just read from the screen. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray before we get further in. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. God, I just thank you so much for every individual here. I thank you for this Covenant Church in Virginia. Father God, I just know that you've got plans for them. God, I know that they've got a passion to make an impact on their community, Father God, and I just pray that you would just speak through me this morning, Lord, to what they need to hear, each individual, each heart. Just pray a blessing on the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what does it mean to abide? To truly remain in him, like a vine connected to a branch, doesn't mean just you read your Bible for 11 minutes in the morning, you pray before a meal, and maybe you pray before you go to bed. The art or even a skill of abiding happens in those moments in between. And here's a quote from my training. It says this, quieting your mind and body for a minute or two is a practical way to abide with Jesus. He can hear the noise around you. He sees your kids are antsy for attention. He sees your mind spinning with your responsibilities, plans, and pain. He hears the deeper cries of your soul. Could you close your eyes for just a minute, take a couple of slow, deep breaths, and offer your mind, soul, and strength to God? Just sit with Jesus, offering him your attention as you would to someone you love. So let's just take whatever my internal clock says for a minute and just close our eyes and just spend a minute with the Lord. Would you join me? You can open your eyes. And it's those little moments in the day that we often need just to remind ourselves of the goodness of God, how he's working in our lives today, how he's working in our lives the start of this year. Because we can often forget what the Lord has done. Second, as we look through this symbol of the three story, for God's story, my story, in their story. We look at God's story, and it's expressed through the life and love of Jesus. You can even look in Colossians 1:15, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Oops, did I skip one? I did. Ha ha. Let's do doubles. So we look at the life of Jesus, And I'm sure you could at least think of one story of Jesus where he is just pursuing the lost. I have in here Zacchaeus in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Like maybe that's John chapter 4. I think of, for me, Luke chapter 15, I've preached a message on that. We've got his parables trying to just stick this concept in the Pharisee's head of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, that focused on seeking and saving the lost. We also see through Jesus, he's focused on an intimate friendship between creator and creation, or in his case, between he and his father. And you can look through a lot of instances of through his life in Scripture where he has some message, or he heals somebody, or does all this miracle, or even in Luke 5, 15, and 16, he just healed someone from leprosy, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. In verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You even have Matthew 14. John the Baptist was just beheaded. He went to try to go to a solitary place to pray. And then later on in the same chapter, feeds the 5,000. And again, tries to get alone and pray and goes with his disciples. And ends up walking on water and having to teach more lessons along the way. So even Jesus can get distracted. Well, in a good way, to reach other people, but he was still inputting those moments just to be alone and have those intimate times with his Father. And Jesus was also focused on surrendering to the Father, trusting him above all else, and I can only think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will," or not my will, but yours be done. Church, I want others to fall in love with the story of God, with Jesus' story. And I want myself and others to trust above all else our Father God and put our life in his hands. And we can even look at... Okay, that was not another one. You can look at my story or your individual stories as part of this three circle. We, of course, want to keep God at the center, discovering our story and reflecting on how God was at work in your life. Have you ever taken the time to look at, man, what are these big hurdles that God's helped me jump over? And how could I use those stories, those moments, to relate to others and reach those around me? Like looking at your life like a book. What are the chapters? What are the themes? How can you connect a chapter of your story to a lost friend? And with that, with their story, the last part of the circle is simply getting to know parts of their story. Not just, "How are you doing today? Oh, good. Oh, me too. All right, see you later." What compels us? In 2 Corinthians 5, 14, 15, "For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." This should be the driving force of our daily life. If you're anything like me, the driving force can often be, what do I want to do for fun? What do I want to do to get some rest? What do I want to do to maybe spend time with family more, or with you know, wife, daughter, whoever's in your life? Those are all good things, but am I truly compelled by Christ's love for me? It's so easy to get sidetracked within a moment in our day-to-day life. And a leader in this training says this: "A healthy way of abiding would be to say that I spend time to know that I'm deeply loved by God." This compelling love, just spending time to know, or better even word yet, like remind yourself or remember how loved you truly are by God. And even ask yourself, how well am I experiencing God's deep love for me? Am I most compelled by the love of Christ? In the second part of Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with unfailing kindness. Zephaniah 3:17, very powerful verse. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with his love. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. But church, when you're more compelled by responsibilities, what might that look like? Maybe a little anxious, maybe a little hurried. And I challenge you this morning, with all the stresses we have and that I have, if at a given moment, even for a second or a minute, you are fully aware of God's love, God's provision, his plan and promises, would you be stressed? I don't think so. But it's this constant pull between our flesh and our spirit and this world and things above that can get us distracted and begin to be compelled by other things. And this doesn't mean to even neglect these priorities. I can look at Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Another part, loving and listening. Something that I don't think we talk about enough is this art and skill of listening to people and asking good questions applied in a natural way in our lives. Another great quote from this training, abiding in Jesus, like the vine, changes us, stirring up this love for others that compels us to discover more and more of their stories, like the three circles. Abiding shapes us into unhurried people who have time to linger longer and listen. When we take the time to ask questions, we become more interested in listening well than moving on to our own agenda. As we listen, we watch for the fingerprints of God, drawing others toward himself, and we partner with the Holy Spirit in asking the next deeper question. And the initial reaction can often be to fix it as well. Instead, if someone opens up a tough part of their story or a chapter in their book, you could ask yourself a couple of questions. What is my friend's need? Is there a way for me to enter that part of his or her story and be a companion? What are the best words for me to use? Are there things I shouldn't say? How can I best represent Jesus' love? The question shouldn't be, how can I fix it? How can I throw the Bible at them? And for the youth I work with, this is the tough balance, people. How do I go from, I know this kid well, we've had some conversation, and you just kind of take that leap to go from, we're talking about sports, we're talking about this, to going, what about God? When do I take that leap? Sometimes it's after a day, sometimes it's like 2 years. How about God? Do you know him? Do you read your Bible? Do you believe in God? Or even for me, even a question I like to ask that kind of at least opens up their story is I go, who do you live with? Oh, just my mom and my sister. Boom. I've already got a picture. Right? Asking good questions, good timing on those questions that I don't know the timing of. I do my best and rely on the Holy Spirit. But I can't sit through life knowing these kids for years and years and years and years without asking a single deep question about creation, about God. And the term that Youth for Christ likes to use is an authentic Christ-sharing relationship. That simply is just some teenager, or I guess it really could be an adult for anybody in your life, that you can share openly about your faith and ask faith-related questions regardless of their own belief system. Okay? I'm not saying you're a Christian talking with the other Christians about Christian stuff. I'm saying you've got a relationship with somebody, I guess could be a Christian too, but ultimately someone who's not a Christian, you've built up a relationship enough to at least talk about it once in a while. That's a tough place to get to. But it can happen. You've got to love them. Prove to them that you're not there with this unhurried agenda to just, oh man, you're so lost. If I could just tell you all the ways you're wrong, woo, you'd be sitting pretty. Loving and listening with people. People that don't also go to church. Whoa. Inviting. When's the last time you presented the gospel to somebody? This is a hard step in the process that I don't think we talk about enough. The step that I think many of us fail to step into with those lost friends or family. Not asking those questions. I remember just for me to be real, been living next to, like, kind of kitty corner to my neighbor for, like, oh gosh, 7 years or so. And finally, just the other day, this summer, I think, we're talking about randomly whatever. And I just finally asked, like, do you go to church? Well, I don't know what the answer was. Something like, I kind of used to, or I get a lot too, is like, well, I'm Catholic, but I don't really, like, go to service or anything, you know? And I invited at least once to just come to my church in Chisholm. That's a start. But man, where was that 6 years ago? Or even after, you know, after I've been this neighbor for so long? Or my neighbor immediately next to me, I need to invite again to church, but, you know, the last couple of times I've had some conversations and invited to church, and it's like, well, we don't really believe in that stuff, or we're not really spiritual. It's a hard step to get there. That it's not just knocking on someone, a stranger's door, and saying, come to church with me. Sometimes it works. Not all the time. And in Jesus' ministry, he simply didn't present someone with information and walk away. It came with an ask or a challenge. Come. Now come, follow me. Or heal them. Come, follow me. Or now, go and sin no more. Or sell your riches, give to the poor, and follow me. And essentially, through our relationship with these people, we are setting the table with an ask and letting God be the closer. There's only so much we can do to convince. And in any conversation, it can be frightening to take the step and perhaps change the subject toward Jesus, right? I talked about that. What if I say the wrong thing? What if they get offended? What if they say no? All really great questions that you're not going to know the answer to. But with a quiet soul and a heart abiding with Jesus, we are equipped to handle the conversation, but not alone. We should be listening for the appropriate timing or specific questions by just listening to the Holy Spirit. Or praying for them in your quiet time. And as you, if you couldn't already tell, I'm talking about a lot of very practical things today, and that's been kind of a word on my heart for, well, this year too, but even kind of bleeding in the last year, is just, are we missing the point in some ways of just being practical for some of these things? We can still pray, right? Pray for those lost family members, pray for those students, but man, where am I missing some other elements of just being practical? Like, I'll just branch into a really quick story. I know God is gonna just totally wreck this kid's life soon, but I've been working on this relationship for like a year and a half, and I'm among many, many different issues he's walking through. He had this little group of friends, I guess, let's just say, that he got disconnected with, that he felt like he couldn't be friends with them anymore, they didn't like him, this, that, and the other thing, right? And finally, I was just asking myself, what if I could have some conversation with those people and ask, like, what happened? Instead of just listening to this student. Got a hold of them, like, of course we have technology, and it was like online stuff, so I got a hold of them. They're a little bit further away from us, you know, not super local. And it was like, oh, remember this student? Oh, yeah, I do. Whatever happened with him? Like, yeah, I don't know. He thought, you know, you guys didn't like him or this, that, and the other thing. Oh, no. Like, no, we're a family of this, you know, this video game thing he plays, and we're a family, you know, we do this and that. And you know, I can't think of anything why he'd be, you know, not allowed to come, whatever. And that was like a week ago, and he drove to North Dakota with three of them and played in some video game tournament, and I can already just see his persona changing. Like, he was depressed, no one liked him, and it's like, I've been praying and praying and praying, and people are praying and praying and praying, that I also went like, okay, what can I practically do to also try to help and just show you, buddy, the mind is such a horrible thing sometimes that it's just telling you lies that this person doesn't like you, this group of people don't like you, people don't like you. And I can just practically see the change in his heart by just talking to these people and seeing, see, there was nothing wrong. It was all your anxiety. Practical. Practical. Explaining the gospel or the highlights of the gospel. Has anyone heard of the Romans road to salvation? Okay, we have Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, and 10:9. And I'm just kind of reading it all in one bundle, as you can see how this goes. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another but, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I just explained the gospel in 60 seconds, maybe even less. And there's a couple others that I've really liked. One from Fellowship of Christian Athletes is the four. My students actually have some of these at our church in Chisholm. The four, with the four symbols. God loves you. Sin separates you. Jesus rescues you. Will you trust Jesus? And one from Youth for Christ, if you're familiar with those people. The five R's. Relationship. Resist. Restore. Respond. And remain. Relationship. Not a religion. Resist. It's that human nature to naturally resist it. But it's restored through Jesus alone, and we can respond with that act of trust and surrender. And then once you go that far, you remain. You abide. You build that relationship. You pray. You get in the Word. And with all of these models, they don't always have to be given at the same time. You know, don't just go to your neighbor again, be practical. You don't just start talking about, well, maybe the Viking season next year will be good. Hey, you know what? Maybe the Lions can, you know, make something happen. They deserve it. And then go, by the way, if you heard of the five R's before, you know, let me just run through them real quick. Just hold on. Let me get through these, you know. For me personally, what I really like to go through, especially when, at least in our culture, it's not like Christianity is this unknown thing. We're definitely a Christian culture overall, right? Is I just bring up at least the, hey, tell you what, I don't know if you heard about Christianity, but I do not like religion. I believe in a relationship. It's between you and the Creator. Not just following this list of rules. Not just going through the motions. It's this relationship, this active living relationship with the Lord. What do you think about that? And see what happens. Or maybe for some odd reason, you know, I have a kid, he knows a lot of stuff about the Bible, he's 7th grade, but I hear all the time of, well, he's not, I don't know if I'm good enough for God. And maybe I skip that relationship part, and I have often brought up the, hey, God has died on the cross for all of your sins. You cannot out-sin God's grace. You know, so you find those moments to just insert the truth. Bury that lie and insert the truth. And for us, church, bringing it all the way back home to us, getting re-gospeled. Do you remember when you first accepted Christ? For some of you, it might have been at least a couple of years ago. When you first felt the Lord's presence. Maybe some big moments in your Christian walk where you just really either had a big turnaround when you were lost or whatever. We need to take an active role in the ongoing mission to sink into the gospel message. Whether we're new to the faith or not, focus on the truth and love. Other part that I've even done a full message on is this concept of, man, are we truly loving well? And I can actually think of in Matthew 22, or there's the passage Deuteronomy that says similar things. Matthew 22, 36 through 40, I don't think it's on the screen. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And it's easy to get stuck there, which is still a really good rule, right? Let's just love the Lord. Am I loving the Lord well? And it says this, "And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Or in NLT, which I read from a lot, is even says, "And the second is like it," or I think I already said that. To say that this rule, this law, to love people is right alongside loving the Lord? Whoa! Even to be close to that, like 1-2 punch, are we loving people the way we should? And getting re-gospeled. As we, you know, we're getting still distance from that Christmas season, but man, is the Christmas season, are we getting, is that becoming almost routine? Is the concept of the King being fully God, fully man, born as a human being in a dirty, stinky manger, is that becoming just common to us? You could talk marriage, right? Is, man, I want to love Bethany and feel the way I feel just like our wedding day, every day. Doesn't happen, but I try. Loving, get like resetting that love, that freshness, that renewed love for the Lord and hand in hand in people. It also says in Scripture too, is if you don't love people, you don't love God. If you don't love God, you don't love people. It's a both and. It's not a one or the other. And if you start loving people more, you will naturally love God more. And if you naturally love God more, you'll naturally love people more. And combined with that, getting re-gospeled. Fall in love with God's story again and 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 again. There's a lot of agains on there if you can't see. I want the concept of the cross and its redemptive power to sink into my heart each and every day like it's my first time hearing it. And again, loving my wife or my 2.5-year-old or my mother the same way, like it's like maybe the first time again. And I've done a lot of talking today. And you've patiently listened. But church, if we truly love God, we will love our neighbor. We'll be compelled to do so because of what Christ has done. If we truly love our neighbor, we will attempt to build a connection with them. We should listen well and be vulnerable to even share parts of our story. And not just the pretty parts. If we do that, we will naturally share parts of our story and learn some of theirs. Lastly, if we do all that, we should naturally point our friends, family, neighbors to Christ through this authentic Christ-sharing relationship. A loving relationship that models the agape love that Christ has for us. And church, living this three-story life isn't something that Youth for Christ invented. The three-story term, sure, might be through this organization, but it's nothing new. But church, it shouldn't be like being a door-to-door salesman. Or a used car salesman, barging down on their door. People should want to be let into your life by the way you're acting, your fruit from abiding in Christ. They want to know more about you, of how you're acting and responding through challenges, and then you can naturally be that conduit to point them directly to Christ. Because I think sometimes, using the common term, I think sometimes we make a better door than a window, don't we? To see Christ. And I just encourage you, church. Maybe there's someone that comes to your mind. Maybe it's a family member you haven't talked to about it in ages or never, or a neighbor or a coworker you've had for 30 plus years and you have no clue if they go to church or not because you just haven't brought it up. But if you know them well enough and pursue that relationship, it might be time to bring it up. It's risky. Just like for me, I've got friends in my life that if they're going down, even like my, you know, and it's happened even with friends and family that, man, if they're going through something that I strongly disagree with, I'm going to find a time, maybe if there's a way, I'm going to challenge them on it. Is it possible they're going to get really offended and not want to talk to me? Yeah, but I'm taking the risk to talk to people about that kind of stuff. Not to be mean, but again, just relying on the Lord's timing with that, abiding with Him, praying about it. Because church, we all have a part to play. We've got people in our lives we know that just in that loving way, we can point them to Christ. Because maybe they haven't seen the full picture of what it looks like to live for Christ. To make an impact on your friends and family. A little conclusion there for you. I'll just close in prayer for my part of the service here. Father God, help us to get out of our comfort zones. God, help us to not believe the lie that we're not good enough to make an impact, or we're not a public speaker, that we can't make an impact for you. God, that you would just guide everyone here, including myself, Lord, those names of friends and families and neighbors, whoever, Lord, co-workers, God, that need to know you. God, that we would not be hurried on the timelines, Father God. That we would simply just take a genuine interest in their life and vulnerable about our own things, Lord, just because we love and care. And build on that foundation of trust with them and love. And God, just see where you lead it. God, I just pray an anointing on this church, God, and this entire church body, Father. God, that you would just richly bless them. God, I pray for finances. Father God, I even pray for their future pastor, Father God, that you would make a way. God, that everyone here would know, especially thinking of the grandparent age, Father God, that they have already made an impact. God, that their family tree has been forever affected for the kingdom because of their faith, Father God. And we just pray for the one that, God, whose bloodline, through you, Father God, we can change forever when they submit to you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for sending your Son, Father God. May we not soon forget in our hearts the wonder and the power, God, of this wonderful story, your story. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you more. Help us to love people more, Father. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for having me. I'm always open for conversation, or if you want to grab a cup of coffee or tea or whatever, I can just get you my number or whatever. Always a pleasure to come here and share, and thanks again.
629, we will finish our service singing.